Hey everyone, welcome to the Pot Awareness Podcast, and thanks for joining me. This podcast is specifically for about educating and raising awareness for animals and rescues and organizations across the United States and world. It really goes a long way towards this mission when our listeners rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and all of our other podcast platforms. Also, be sure to check us out on our official website at pawawareness.org and on social media at TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at pawawareness_podcast. You can check us out for all of our latest bits and clips of our podcast, as well as Pet of the Week and Pet of the Month. If you're listening and involved with an animal rescue organization or have a story of your own that you want to share, reach out to us at info@pawawareness.org and we can get you on the podcast. Thanks for watching, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Paw Awareness Podcast. Today, I'm grateful to be speaking with Susan Willis, the Executive Director of Highland Lakes Canine Rescue. And thank you so much for coming on today. I'm really excited to talk with you more about some of the issues you're seeing and what your organization does. So I'm just going to go ahead and pass it over to you. Go ahead and introduce yourself and the organization.
Great. Thanks so much. We appreciate that. So we're from a really unique dog rescue shelter. We're a 501c3 that's in the Central Texas area. And we have been in operation for 22 plus years. So we're not a new organization. We've been around for quite a while and have saved literally thousands of dogs. When I say the words thousands, I mean it. So we are an off branch doing business as Highland Lakes Canine Rescue, but got our roots from being an SPCA shelter in the very beginning. And what's even funnier is in the back that we used to also do cats instead of dogs or with dogs. And now we just focus on dogs. But when you look at what we do versus some other shelters in the Central Texas area, we have a really unique focus. Whereas others are maybe breed specific, or if they're trying to reach any kind of rescue dogs out there, we're the ones that go in and take medically critical dogs out of kill shelters and off of euthanasia lists. So our specific task is save the mange dogs, save the pregnant dogs, save the dogs that are injured, have been shot, need a surgery, et cetera. We actually go in and take the ones that seem like, wow, their chances are just really, really low for success or getting adopted. And because of that, we really love what we do, because the transformation of those dogs when they get rehabbed is just so phenomenal. It's just really neat to see the befores and afters of animals that come in and they're not feeling their best. They're not looking their best. Maybe they're missing some hair. Maybe their skin is infected or what have you. And we're able to really take the time and transform them back into being these beautiful, amazing animals like they maybe started out. It's even more fun to watch as they're puppies and watch them start to grow and flourish. It's really a neat thing.
Yeah, it is really unique. And it's, I have a lot of questions. Like, for example, I know you mentioned some criteria, right, that you look for in a dog. Is it just kind of like if this dog meets this criteria, we accept them? Or is it like a case by case basis? Is there certain dogs that you have to turn away? And if so, what are some of those reasons?
Yeah, you ask a great question there. And thanks for asking that, actually. So in regards to criteria, we are looking for the ones that, you know, just maybe don't stand a chance at all. Maybe because they have heartworm and the prognosis may not look that great at first, but heartworm is treatable. And depending on the age of the dog, we can absolutely do a lot. And even in some cases, get them fully healed, right? We pay for their vet care and we monitor and take care of the animals the entire time that they're with us. So when you say what kind of criteria, what are we looking for? We're looking for dogs that we think we can make an impact on, that we know that maybe the folks that adopt in our area might be interested in helping. We're looking for ones that we think, yeah, this is going to be a dog that we can save and really help. You know, there are some situations where our hearts get broken, where we can't help every single one and we really, really want to. We only have so much space and so much staff. you know, that seems to be an issue across the board is having enough folks to help out and enough hands to do the work. But we are very blessed. We have amazing volunteers and a small but mighty staff. They're awesome. And they work really, really hard to get the dogs healed and revamped. So we have had a couple instances where we've literally gone in at the 11th hour when a dog was on a euthanasia list and literally was moments from getting, that last signature and seeing his last breath. So we've been very fortunate. And you know, what's funny is in my mind, I'm thinking of a couple dogs that are just amazing. One was a huge shelter favorite. We just adored him. Great dog. His name was Gecko, like the lizard, which I think is really funny, but Gecko was a fabulous dog and it was an overcrowding situation. And we were able to go in and get him and heal him up a little bit and get him adopted out.
And has the organization always been like that? Like that's been the main focus, or did it kind of evolve over the 22 years to where that?
Yeah, it's evolved.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And we first started out in just the normal rescue situation where you find out about a dog and you're able to go in and rescue it and bring it back to where we are. But I think now is a good time to talk about the fact that ours is a different type of property and talk a little more about what people would see if they were to come out and visit us, because I think that would give everybody really good context in that. So we're in Central Texas. If you look at a map, Austin's over on the east side and we're on the west side, just outside in the Texas Hill Country. And it's beautiful property, beautiful areas. A lot of folks think Texas is really flat and we all ride our horses to work and, you know, you see tumbleweeds in the distance. That is not it at all. I tease people about that all the time. I don't have a 10-gallon hat and I don't think I own boots, but no, instead it actually looks more like places you'd see in the East Coast or West Coast. You know, it's absolutely beautiful out there. Gorgeous trees, rolling hills, some gorgeous cliffs and flowers. It's just a really pretty area. And we are very blessed because we have a 15-acre property out there. And so it's not just a shelter building. It's a wide open, what we call ranch instead. And we have indoor, outdoor kennel spaces for the dogs. In addition to these gigantic backyard size pens. So our dogs not only get the benefit of being inside in the air conditioning, they have a little run on the outside. You know, after they wake up in the morning, they get a chance to go outside. And then we place them in these big pens that are like great big yards. So they're getting the benefit of other things that maybe other shelters can't provide, like sunlight and a chance to run around and play with some friends and get to be socialized. We have volunteers that walk our dogs on this big mile-long walking trail that goes on the outside of our property. And it's got trees and benches. We even have those little painted rocks, you know, so people could sit down and look at the painted rocks and snuggle and love on a dog. Because I got to tell you, Chris, one of the important things about what we do is getting a dog to trust a human. That's a big part of it. And loving on them, you know, getting them some fresh air and getting them out of scary environments and letting them relax a little bit, because, you know, their bodies can heal when they're not constantly in stress and pumping cortisol through their systems. And allowing them just to decompress. And it just changes their lives when they get that opportunity to really slow down, get out of fear, and then let their body start to heal again. And it has been a progression over time over those 22 years. It's just, what do we really need to do? And now we're really happy with the focus and our mission.
That's amazing. And I have some questions too, because you know, you hear like regular adoption centers, they're, especially where I'm at, I feel like the dogs don't really, they're gone pretty quick. My question is being the fact that you're rehabbing a dog from the time it enters your facility to the time it leaves, it's because this is a two-part question. Is one, what's the typical length of a dog staying there with you guys? And then it doesn't sound like space is an issue. So like, I'm sure it's a little bit longer. How long, like, is it costly? Is this like a costly process per dog? I'm curious on that.
Sure. Sure. Great question. So the first part is, how long do they typically stay? And it just kind of depends on what the dog needs, right? So if it's a heartworm dog, or if it's a dog with mange, those take a lot longer because they're trying to be healed. It's a skin infection and we've got to give them medicated baths and we're making sure they get the medicine they need. And literally we're putting hands on dogs with mange Yes, we do that. We wear gloves. Don't worry. But we go in and we treat the dog. And that doesn't happen overnight. It can take quite a while. So on average, I would say our dogs are usually with us about 3 weeks to 6 weeks. It just depends on what the case is with the animal, right? What it is that they have going on. But if it's a situation where it's a really ill or injured dog, you're right. We've got the space. So our animals are going to stay with us for quite a long time. I mean, we have some that we brought in from other shelters in July of last year. Well, it's April of this year. So we're still working on rehabbing the dog, trying to find it the perfect home. What's really important to us too is the qualification process for the people who adopt. We want to make sure that if we're going to put a lot of time and love and money into this animal, that they're going to continue to get that where they go to their new home and with their forever family. And so we do ask some really specific questions because we want to make sure that those people are able and willing to care for this precious baby we've had for a while and turn it into their precious baby and continue to give it the care that it needs. You know, the worst thing we want to have happen is love on it a ton, have it go out, and unfortunately it's a bad fit and the dog has to come back. That's a trauma every time a dog has to return. We don't want it to go through that. So the onus is on us to really make sure we're asking the best questions and understanding the people where they are, the dog that we have, and is that the very best fit? So let's pause a second and talk about that because, you know, in the world of online dating and in the world of online dog choice, you know, it's a beauty contest sometimes. You know, people look at a picture, oh, it's so pretty, it's a great dog. Yeah, it is. Maybe if you have a ranch also and aren't trying to put an Australian Shepherd in your apartment. So I tease about that all the time because you got to fit the dog to the house and the lifestyle. And we see often in some of these public shelters where people go and they buy beautiful full-bred dogs and then realize this dog is absolutely not what they need to have. They're looking for something calm. They're looking for something that's going to fit their lifestyle, only to find out that this beautiful breed is absolutely crazy and bonkers, ricocheting off the walls and chewing their door frames. So we ask those questions to really make the fit as best as possible. How are you with your dog? What are you trying to do with the dog? What do you want it for? You know, is it companionship or is it because your other dog needs a buddy? You know, we ask those kinds of questions. And once you understand that and examine what we have and as inventory of dogs, we can really get down in the grass about what will be a successful adoption for them or not.
I think that's awesome that you guys are so picky on the right fit. I'm sure having that space and whatnot, like you said, a dog could stay with you a while. So
you bet.
I feel like not every rescue has that luxury. And I think that's awesome that you guys set yourself up that way to where you can have that, that choice. And I'm curious too, to know more about where are you getting these dogs from? Are they local or are they like across the country? What's that like?
Yeah, you ask. That's a good question too. You have good questions today, Chris. I appreciate
it. Yeah,
questions.
No, it's awesome.
That's awesome. So what we do is we work with other shelters in the vicinity, animal control. We're trying to really make an impact on the homeless pet population. So oftentimes we get asked, do you guys take owner surrenders or what have you? And we're a little reluctant to do that because we really want to get the dogs that are suffering in on the streets or in the shelters into a better position. You know, dogs that are already in homes and have roofs over their head and full bellies, you know, they don't have as much of a dire need as some of the ones that are out there. And so we really want to make the ones that, you know, they don't know if they're going to get the next day. They don't know if they're going to get a next meal. We want to make an impact on those first. And it just seems like there's so, so many of those dogs right now. I don't know why that is. You know, some people have tried to attribute it to societal things. Some people have tried to attribute it to economic things and climate things and what have you. Nobody really has the perfect answer. But what we do know is it just seems like there's an influx of a lot of animals right now and people unable to care for them the way that they hope. And whatever the circumstance, they end up in a bad spot. We try to get them out of that bad spot. So where we're located, like I said, we're on the outskirts of Austin. Austin stays absolutely hopping with their amount of animals. And the other thing you got to look at when you look at a map, where is Austin in relationship to Louisiana or Florida or places that sometimes have weather-related natural disasters? And when you've got some larger shelters that can take an influx of animals from a hurricane or a flood or what have you, sometimes they'll trickle into our region. And then from there, they get disseminated and we try to help out. When they get busy and full, we try to go in and help them as well. And we do have the luxury of a little bit more space than what they have. They're landlocked in the city and we're out in the country. And for once, it's kind of nice to have a little bit of growing room and space.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And yeah, I was curious about that because it's, I know that, you know, like every area kind of faces their own issues and right. Certain areas can help with, you know, like you have space, so maybe you can help with that. That's interesting. And I wanted to know too, are there any programs or any types of things in the works that you guys do at all, like in the community or anything like that? And like, how does that work? Like your relationships that you build with probably a plethora of different organizations across the nation, maybe, I don't know.
Sure. You ask great questions. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you that every time, because I really appreciate the questions. We have a great partnership with Canines for Warriors, and they have a new facility in San Antonio, Texas. And from where we are to them, isn't that far, maybe about an hour. And we love them because their mission to us is just so noble and rock solid. They go into shelters and check for dogs that are appropriately sized and have the right personality to be able to support PTSD veterans. And so they've taken a handful of our dogs because they measure well or are the right disposition. And then they take them to their facility and train them up to be support animals for veterans. We've had one dog graduate pretty recently, so we're so excited for him. That was such a neat process to go through. He started as a dog named Indy. He was a border collie, rescue dog, and Canines for Warriors got him and trained him up. And then he moved to Florida to be paired with his veteran and get trained even further. And we got to watch his graduation online, had to be online last year, but it was so neat and so rewarding for us to get to see our animal, get to then go be a support dog for a veteran. Since then, we've had a couple of our dogs begin the program. And if they don't make it all the way through, they get retired or they don't actually fail the program. They just take a career change and move on to being a rescue dog for a family or what have you. And I just got to tell you, I love the Canines for Warriors folks. They are fantastic. And like I said, their mission is really noble. They understand how saving a rescue dog and saving a veteran and putting them together is just, that's just fantastic. And I like how it serves our military who serves us. So I'm behind them 100% with what they do. We have a dog in there right now and we're hopeful Liam will come out all the way. It's about 10 months of training, which is pretty impressive just to get that dog fully prepared to be able to support the veteran. But to talk about other community partners that we have some that are not in the dog industry or in the rescue industry. We work with other organizations locally and then businesses as well. So, you know, PetSmart is a great partner of ours and allows us to come into the community and stand in front of their store every other weekend and put on little adoption events so we can get our dogs shown in the community. That's priceless to us. The downside of being in the country for us is we don't have people stopping by to look at our dogs, and that's on purpose because they're medically critical. We can't have the general public come in for sanitation purposes. So PetSmart allowing us to stand outside gives us a natural avenue for people to be able to see our dogs and love on them. And, you know, I always say to folks, because they're usually so genuinely kind, and they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry, I've already got dogs, I can't take your dog here. And I'll always say, that's okay. The fact that you loved on it today makes his shelter stay so much more enjoyable. They love the socialization. They love the interaction. It's not a problem that you can't take my dog. You've really extended its life. So thank you. And I always shake their hands, or some people hug me or what have you, but I am grateful that they do love on our animals when we're out in the community. We go all kinds of places too. So a lot of people don't know Central Texas has a ton of wineries and breweries and distilleries and fun things with great views. So we take them out there and meet folks where they are. If they're enjoying an adult beverage, we'll go out and visit with our dogs, or we'll also take them to places like festivals. So we have a great art festival that's out here in the Hill Country, and we got to visit there this year. So it's fun stuff like that that we get to do.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I'm sure the people, like, it's like a win-win for everyone. The dogs enjoy it. They get to get out, meet people. And then obviously it's like, who doesn't want to pet a dog?
Who doesn't want to love on it? And we get a good giggle because, you know, you can always tell the folks that are truly interested, because we always kind of look for folks like us. You know, they'll come and they're loving on everything, and then they'll walk away, and then they come back. And, you know, we were at a farmer's market a couple of weeks ago, and we had a lady, I kid you not, Chris, she must have came back like 18 times. I mean, like, holy cow, you want to hold the dog? You know, do you want to
do my job? Like,
yeah. Here, let me help you. And she was just precious and cute. And she must have held every puppy we had out there and just loved on them. And it was just such a neat thing, you know, and whether or not they take a dog, ultimately, yeah, do we want them to? But the fact that she was just kind to all of them, it fills their bucket when they need it, you know, and just keeps them going. The shelter life, we try to make it fun. We have a dog park and an agility course at the back of our property that's fenced in. And we try to give them something fun to do, because, you know, part of the problem of being in a shelter is you get bored. It's not always the most fun if you don't get a chance to play with your play buddy or what have you. So our volunteers not only walk our dogs, but can take them into our dog park or agility area and let them run around and play and do all kinds of fun stuff. And the really smart ones like the agility equipment, and they want to, you know, challenge themselves and go up and down the A-frame and run through the hoops and up and over the gates. They love that stuff. And some of our volunteers are willing to help them go through that. So that's kind of neat. I enjoy that. I get to offer that, you know, it's kind of something, a source of pride for me. Like, yeah, we really try to stimulate the dogs in all different kinds of ways and make their lives there fun. The other thing that we have is a snuggle room. I kid you not. It's a snuggle room. That's a decorated room. Yeah. Why not? It's a decorated room where if any of our volunteers want to go in and just take a dog and literally hold it and love it and read their phone or read to the dog or whatever it may be, just hang out with the animal so it gets better socialized. That makes a huge difference for them as well. You know, dogs get really fearful when they're hurt. They don't understand usually what's going on. And to have a human go in and comfort it as it's healing, it just builds that trust and that socialization. It makes it so much easier for the dog to transition from shelter life to home life when his time comes to find his forever family. So I think the snuggle room is pretty valuable myself, and we've got it decorated all cute. So, you know, if you can have the opportunity at your facility to give the best to the dogs, you know, I really feel like that's what we need to do, whether it's grooming them or giving them baths or snuggling with them or walking them, whatever that may be. You know, we really try to do it.
No, that's amazing. I think that's really important, just to get, you know, to get the dogs more socialized and just into the right home. I think that's a huge step. And I don't know if I've met a whole lot of rescues that do that. So that's really cool. And I wanted to ask you too, like, I know a lot of people that listen to this podcast are either they already have dogs or they're under animal rescue, but let's say someone has never rescued a dog before, or let's say they're even on the fence of like, do I want to go to a breeder or whatever? What would you say to them? What would be like one message to them before they were to do that? Like, is there anything you can share in your time in animal rescue?
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, part of my responsibility at the dog rescue is I do all of our social media posts out on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and what have you. And there's a lot of discussion often about dogs and rescue dogs versus breeders. And I will say this, we're Switzerland when it comes to that stuff. We really are. You know, there are some folks that jump on one side vehemently or they jump on another side vehemently, and we don't. Our stance is this: just love and commit to whatever animal you pick. I'm not going to be the kind of person that says, no, 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 you shouldn't. Instead, I want to say, hey, great. Just love it and vet it and care for it. You know, there's a lot of divisiveness in a lot of areas, and I just don't think this is one that's necessary. You know, people even say that about competition between rescues, and I laugh at that. There is no such thing as a competition in a rescue. We're all following the same mission. We all want the same thing, for dogs to get into the best place that they possibly can. We all want them to be rescued. We want them to have homes. Same with breeders and rescue dogs, in my opinion. Just get them loved and cared for. Now, step two of that, if you were to ask me to further that, please just spay and neuter your animal, or be responsible on how they populate. Responsible breeding, that's a whole nother topic that could take a whole 20 hours, I'm sure. Right. And I'm not going to go there. But I will say this: there are very responsible people out there, and more power to them. And I appreciate the fact that they're conscientious. There's irresponsible rescues. We see that happen sometimes too. And you know, you can't go pointing fingers at either. We have folks in this industry that take on way, 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 way too many dogs. And then they need to be rescued because their rescuing efforts have just overwhelmed them. And so we're not interested in any of that. We just want folks, if they make a decision to have a dog, keep it, love it, vet it, be responsible, right? And I don't see that as much as I would love to see that. Unfortunately, on Facebook and other social media outlets, we're seeing a lot of transition when it comes to dog ownership, or people selecting, like we talked about, people selecting a dog that's not appropriate for them. And then I call it the disposable dog era. We live in a generation of people who think that a dog can be returned, not understanding the trauma that they would create by doing that, or breaking the commitment that this animal who trusts them and relies on them has. And I really wish people as a society, people in general, would reevaluate before they get a dog, and then before they make a decision to let go of their dog, what those ramifications are going to be long term. I really wish people would maybe tighten up their moral compass a little bit when it comes to animals, right? But that's what you're thinking, I'm sure.
That's an amazing message. And I think just having that self-awareness there of like, is this dog the right fit for me? Like you mentioned, you know, don't get a German Shepherd if you live in an apartment and, you know, you are working not at home 9 hours a day. Like this, sure. You know, just be sure. Smart about it. And then also realize that, hey, like these animals have feelings too, and just returning them is probably going to be way more traumatizing for them than it would be for me. So I think that's an amazing message that I don't hear as much. Like, I feel like it's like there, but it's not like people aren't saying that as much. So I think that's an awesome message that you're touching on that. And speaking on social media, where can everyone find you guys? Where can we follow you and see what you guys got going on?
Sure. Thanks for asking. So we stay pretty busy outside of there. Being in the area we are, we really try to reach out to some of the cities close by. So San Antonio and Austin, like I mentioned, are pretty close to us. We're on Facebook and we have a pretty good following there. I write the posts and I try to be funny or engaging, or worse, I try to sing to people, not on stories and not live. Thank God, that would be awful, wouldn't it? No, but I do sometimes put song lyrics or something silly or wonky out there. Another avenue of my life, I'm a writer. And so I try to be kind of entertaining to help people be drawn in and notice the animal. And then also on Instagram. So I have four kids of my own, varying ages, and they drag me kicking and screaming into the digital age, right? And so, mom, if you're going to do that, you got to do Snapchat. Okay. So I had to figure that one out. Oh, mom, if you're going to do that, now you got to have TikTok. So I had to figure that one out. And that was hilarious. Mom, you got to learn how to make other videos. So I make all the videos for our shelter too. So I'm in there on iMovie trying to figure that out. So I've learned a little bit, you know, I'm kind of getting savvy with it, but there are some things I'm not so good at, but I do have a try to engage, because, you know, my attitude is this: you got to meet people where they are, and you've got to understand what they find entertaining and engaging. And animals are it. They want to see stories about animals, and we want to catch their attention about our animals. And so I'm willing to put us anywhere out there that needs to be, no matter how silly my posts may be. Sometimes it's even Dr. Seuss Cat in the Hat lyrics, whatever it takes to That's get amazing. The dog's notice, right? I'll do it. I do get a good giggle though, because I'm a woman of an age now. I'm a little bit older, and I can start to see who my audience is, because I can tell by the comments and if they're laughing at my silliness, or if it's a generation that has no idea what I just said. You know, like if it was a song from back in my day and they're like, oh, I love that song. Or if it's crickets, because some folks are like, what is that? I have no idea.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So we try to keep it interesting and fun out there. I will have to brag on my shelter a little bit. Very, very blessed by the fact that we have a fantastic group of volunteers, and our staff is itty bitty. We're a little bitty group. There's a facilities manager who is my jack of all trades guy, who does basically every single thing in the world. I have a fabulous shelter operations manager, and she hung the moon, the stars, and 27 planets. I just love her to death. And then I have 4 technicians, and that is it.
Wow.
One who subs sometimes, right? And so we're small and mighty, and 15 acres is a lot. You've got to walk sometimes when you've got dogs and you're moving things around, and our buildings are separated. We have what we call the B&B, which is we gave it that name, but that's our puppy nursery. And that's at the front of our property, and our shelter building's the midway. And like I said, our pens are big, and then we've got this big walking trail. It's a lot of space. And I got to tell you, my staff is amazing. They snap to it. They're one building to the next. They're running over here. And keep in mind, they're moving all these dogs or what's on campus. And there's only 2 of them making it happen. And so, you know, I believe that's divine. They're just fabulous, and they care, and they're doing it for all the right reasons. I wish I could pay them millions and millions, but you know, right, we're 100% donation driven. That's not happening, but no state, local government funding whatsoever, you know, a couple grants in here and there, cause we're lucky, but donations. And they're just really good people. And so when you've got that and they all believe in what you do, it's just really neat. It makes the whole experience fun, and we tease each other. We laugh out there, and we do a lot of fun stuff. And so, it's neat. You hear about some of these other shelters that have layers and layers and layers of folks. But maybe it's not the happiest place, and maybe it's not fulfilling the mission that they want to, or it's, you know, there's a side of dog rescue that can be really, really dark, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to experience that. We're a no kill shelter, and we like to think it's a really happy place. So last year we even had the theme of one special place. We made a big old poster, and everything was one special place, because we really feel like we're lucky that that is one special place out there. And we change lives, and we change families. And, you know, the legacy of changing a family by giving them this dog that's given them all this joy for 15 or 20 years, man, that's pretty awesome. And just revel in the fact that that's a really neat opportunity not everybody gets. And so we try to stay really positive out there. Not to say it's not hard, man. There are days we don't like people.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, down with people. We can't believe that some things that happen. But for the most part, we try to stay really upbeat and looking for the good. And there's nothing like seeing a dog come from a really poor, bad situation and just flourish and be amazing. And it just fills your bucket back up to go, wow, this dog is awesome. And then we're very lucky too, because some of our past adopters still have a great relationship. And on social media, what's a great avenue for this is they'll send us pictures, or they'll comment on our posts, or they'll send us videos of how, look, you know, look how our dog's doing. And it just makes a smile and fills your bucket back up and go, okay, we could slog through another day and keep it going. And so just to say that, you know, earlier this week wasn't the easiest Monday of all days, you know, had a Monday and then on top of it was a tough day. And lo and behold, in came a great picture and a little note says, we love y'all to death. We couldn't be happier with our dog. Her name is Bug. Oh my gosh, this dog is beautiful. So cute. Her name's Bug, like a bug's life. And wow. Just how their life has changed and they buy her costumes and they're just thrilled. And you see that and it just makes you go, okay, I can walk another 1,000 miles because we made a difference in the family and we changed this dog's life and it was so worth it. So every other little criticism, static or whatever you feel like you're getting, yeah, whatever, you can get past it when you get all these great, you know, great points of light that make you just keep walking. So it's good stuff.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's like those small, like those, like, you know, like one positive thing like that is so totally amazing. And when someone takes the time and writes a letter like that, that's always the best. That's so great. And I'm, you know, like if wherever you're listening to the viewers, check out, leave them a link to all their social media down below. Check them out. Susan, I want to thank you so much for coming on today and just sharing your story and just everything you guys are doing over there. I think it's so exciting.
Thank you. Thank you a ton for having us. We really appreciate it. And I will send you over the links and we appreciate people listening. If they ever want to follow along and see our silliness on social media, we'd appreciate it. And just give us a look online and what have you. And thank you for what you do for getting the word out. I wish more people were aware. And that's exactly what you're doing, is just trying to communicate a really important mission and make people know how critical it is to rescue dogs. And just be good to them. Like we talked about, just love them. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what it's all about. So yeah. Thank you so much for coming on once again. Can't thank you enough.
Yeah. We appreciate it. You have a good one. Thanks.